Well, happy Sabbath. Hope you all had a wonderful week. You know, here in the valley, we have the benefit of quite a few mountain ranges around us. And the Superstition Mountains, probably, I know some of you live out by the Superstition Mountains, but that's just one of many of the beautiful mountain ranges here in the valley. For years, there's been speculation that there's lots of treasure in the Superstition Mountains. You've probably heard all sorts of rumors about what has occurred there in that space. But as the story goes, there's this German immigrant named Jacob Wietz, and he discovered this supposed gold mine in the 1800s, and since about 1892, people have been searching for the treasure that he supposedly found. And there's actually people who have sacrificed their lives looking for this treasure. There are a lot of dangerous areas just in the Superstition Mountain region. And unfortunately, people just try to find this gold and their own lives are sacrificed for it. And if you look at the history of mankind, since the creation of man, man has searched for treasure in the earth. And people have searched mountains, caves, the ocean, all sorts of areas, every crevice of this planet. And as a result, because of this search, mankind has discovered gold, silver, precious metals, gems, diamonds, all sorts of wonderful things. And so over time, mankind has developed this formal mining process that we know about. In modern mining, miners develop all sorts of equipment and techniques to take the earth out of the ground and process it to find these precious things. And a lot of these mines actually move hundreds of millions of tons of earth at a time. And smaller mines might move thousands of tons per day. Some can move hundreds of millions of tons in some cases. Explosives are also used as part of the mining process. This kind of mining you see here in this open pit mine in Nevada, they call it surface mining. That's the style of mining that is used there. And they strip off the earth, as you can see there, one layer at a time, and take that earth and process it. But the scale of these mines are extremely massive. They're rather vast. Almost 1 million tons of ore and waste rock can be moved from the largest open pit mines per day. And as I mentioned, a couple thousand can be moved from small mines. But again, from this process, a lot of precious metals such as copper, uranium, steel, or iron, I should say, granite, limestone, many things that you and I enjoy today are produced from this mining process. There's this other type of mining, and it's called underground mining. And these require tunneling deep into the earth. Typically, ore is extracted from solid rock, so they have to dig deep into maybe the side of a mountain or sometimes straight down into the earth. In South Africa, there is a mine. It's a deep rock mine, which is 12,800 feet deep into the earth. And then there's tunnels and caves and things that have been produced from that mine. And that is a gold mine in South Africa. And so you can see here, this is kind of a traditional entrance to a mine, probably an older mine that miners had produced long ago. And so when we look at the mining process, we can find a lot of similarities between what God is doing with each of us. We can find what God is doing with human beings on earth. And if you think about it, the mountains, the plains, the hills on this planet are like a sea of people. And God looks across the earth, sees the sea of people, and digs down deep and finds very special people who are called by God to be something very special in God's sight. And out of billions of people, of all the people who have lived today and who have ever lived, God digs down and finds a very select few. Select few who have a potential to become a precious treasure to God. So today I'd like to discuss with you the most precious commodity that God is refining today. And as you know, you and I are going through a refining process. A refining process that will lead to a great treasure. A great treasure that we will be able to partake in, but also God himself, God the Father, will be able to partake in. So today I will cover 6 points that help us contemplate the subject matter of the refining process. And I'll try my best to tie it to the refining process of which takes place in this physical realm. Simply put, what God is doing right now is calling those he sees with a great potential to become his treasure of all treasures. And so God is mining for special treasure. This is much like the mining process that seeks after precious ore. And the ore, if you look at it, has this potential to have within it great treasure, great wealth. And that's how God views us. We're raw material that has great potential to become something so much greater. In the traditional below-surface mining, you have a miner who chips away at the rock, and they uncover the ore that they're looking for. Sometimes they find this vein of ore, and they'll follow that vein, whether it's gold or silver or other precious metals. And this is not an easy task. As you can see here, in a traditional mine, these men are chiseling away at solid rock deep into the earth. Typically, it's very hot, very humid, very, very difficult work. And even in modern mining, it's one of the most dangerous fields in the world. People die, unfortunately, quite often in the mining industry. They use modern mining. There's explosives used. Here you can see an example of that taking place. And they use controlled explosions to loosen rock in these mines. And so that will enable them to better move the material out of these tunnels that are being created through that process. Also, miners use pneumatic drills. Fairly modern, last 100, 150 years. But they use these giant pneumatic drills to chisel away at the rock, sometimes to build a structure to enable miners to go deeper in, other times to just remove the material so it can be processed for refinement. And after all of these resources are deployed, heavy machinery, thousands of people, explosives, millions of man hours, it all results in ore. It's just a piece of rock that comes out of the ground and we get to benefit from. So already there's quite an investment in just finding this ore for further use. Once the ore is removed from the mine, it's processed. Here you can see a silver ore mine, and they grind it into as fine a dust as they can, and that'll help in further processing of the silver. But here it just doesn't really look like much, just looks like gravel. But there is gold and silver and other precious metals contained in these black piles of gravel. Here is after that gravel is spent through some very fine grinders. And these grinders just pulverize the material. And it's in an aqueous solution, and the way they use chemicals and other things so that the silver can foam to the top and be collected, as you can see there on your right. The first point I want to bring out today is that God has called us out of the world to be refined. If you can turn to Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, God said this to the Israelite peoples, but he intended these words, the good book here that we have today for us, for God's people, whoever he chooses to call out of this world. He's given these words to us and to internalize. And here we can see what's in God's heart when it comes to his people. In Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God." And holy means set apart, special, very precious. "And the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself." It's not for anybody else. It's for him. And it says, "a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." So again, out of the billions of people who have ever lived, there is a select few who are a very special treasure to God and selected as a treasure above all the people of the earth. And it's something that we should appreciate, something that we should reflect on, because that is how serious our calling is, how special our calling is. If you turn to James 1 verse 27, it's talking about what true religion is. And it's very crystal clear here in James 1 verse 27. It says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And so this mining process that we just reviewed is very similar to the way God is working with us. God goes through great length, probably a greater length than we recognize, to select and identify people who have the potential to be refined into a very precious treasure. And as the scripture points out, we have an obligation to keep ourselves unspotted from this world, set apart, holy, very special. And as we go through the refining process here, you're going to find that impurities are very important to know that you have in metal. Impurities, as you'll find in the refining process, can cause imperfections. It can cause faults. It can cause a lack of luster in what you're trying to produce. And so we're trying to become pure by following what the true undefiled religion is before God. And this is obviously a matter of the heart and what we do in our daily lives, the decisions we make. If you can turn to Philippians 2, verse 14. It says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among you whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." God is laboring very hard for each of us, and we don't want his work to be in vain. He doesn't want his work to be in vain. But as it says in the scripture, we are to become shining lights in the world. And even though we might be this raw ore that has been taken out of the earth, You can shine it in the light and you can see there's some sparkles in there. And if we refine it a little further, it'll shine even brighter. And so as we go through this refining process, our light will shine greater in a world of darkness, a world that doesn't know God's way of life, doesn't follow God's law, doesn't know about the holy days. And someday we'll be called to God's kingdom, and all men will have the chance to understand the truth that God's word teaches. It's very special. But today we have that chance. And right now, we might have some of the world in us, but we look different to the world because we're not of the world. If you look at 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him." Very to the point. So if we are like God, then we look different than others in the world. It doesn't mean we're better than people. It doesn't mean we're, greater than anyone. It's just what God is doing with us. He has called us to change, to be refined, to transform. And that constitutes a difference in how we behave and the light that we shine in this world. You know, there's a commitment that we give to God in our lives. We give our heart, our mind, our time, our resources to help others, to transform our heart and our mind. And not to be like somebody in this world, but to be like God. And if you recall, Jesus Christ was rejected. Why? Because he was like God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's because he did what the Father's will was, and his heart and his mind was directed by God and his Holy Spirit. And so he resembled God the Father and the God family, because he was once part of it as a spirit being, came down here as a man just to sacrifice himself for us. And so when you look at this ore, there's something different about it. There's something that shines in the darkness. It's very special. That brings me to the second point. The second point is that God will purify us with heat and fire. And not only that, he will purify us with heat and fire in the very hottest part of the flame. If you look at Proverbs 17, if you can turn there real quick. Proverbs 17, verse 3. And it says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. You know, we used to just be raw ore, but God opened our minds and helped us realize the reality of mankind and his existence, the truth. The deception that befell us and has befallen all of mankind, the great deception. And you know the story. God doesn't exist. The word of God is just a bunch of words in the book. That's what mankind says. Evolution is really how we came to be. That's not true. That's a false teaching. And we know that. We were made in God's image. All of creation was made for us to beautify this world. And it's very special, and it's right in front of everybody's eyes, but the world is deceived to really internalize that and believe that. But knowing God's truth, once you understand it, you realize the world you're in, and you realize this is not God's world. This is Satan's world. The Bible talks about how Satan was cast down to this earth because of the rebellion of which him and his demons had in the war with God, and Satan is the ruler of this earth. It's also stated in the Bible. A lot of people don't think Satan is a real being, and that's quite frankly a false teaching. He is a real being. And once we realize, you know, what God's calling us to do, then we realize we can't do it by ourselves. There's something missing. And so we look into the Word of God and we find that we're called to be baptized. We're called to have a laying on of hands. We're called to receive God's Holy Spirit. And so we are counseled to do that and receive God's Holy Spirit. And now, with that Holy Spirit in us, in our minds and our hearts, guiding us, helping us, directing us, now we have the ingredient we need, the ingredient that's missing in most of humankind, to be refined. And you know, the ore process, the ore refining process, it's very messy. Very labor intensive, very, very messy. But the reason why man does it is because at the end there's a special treasure. There's a lot of value in that treasure. People have given their lives just to dig holes in the ground and find gold. But God's process with us is similar. We're not perfect. We're very messy people. We want to be perfect. We pray for forgiveness all the time because we sin all the time. Try not to. And thankfully, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, those sins can be removed and forgiven. And we can move on and we can be further refined from that process. And so God is willing to invest his time, just like a miner does in a mine, to silversmith us, as a silversmith to help us become more refined. If you look at Psalm 66, verse 5, it says here, "Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in doing towards the sons of men." And you skip to verse 10, it says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined." As you know, David wrote these words. David knows about refining. David made more mistakes than probably all of us. But he knew that God was testing him and proving him so that he could be prepared for a greater purpose. God has a plan for each of us as he digs us up out of the earth, cleans us off, and starts refining us. And so, as part of that process, we're put in the fire. And if you look at verse 11 of Psalm 66, it says, "You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. And we went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." And so this is talking about the refining process. Not really what we want all the time is to be refined. Sometimes it hurts. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. It's not always easy. But God can allow or even cause affliction to occur in our lives. Or a trial. And we can be heated. We can be scorched with water, reheated again. But at the end of it, we have a wonderful and rich end product. Something I think it's going to be easier to look back on our physical existence as spirit beings than it is now in our very humble physical state, in this physical reality. It's hard to contemplate what we're becoming. But as you go through Passover every year, you know a difference as you reflect on yourself and you realize, I am getting better. I am changing. I am something different than when I started all this. And it's because God's working with us. He's refining us. If you look at Malachi, a lot of this refinement is in our heart, in our minds, and helping us to become a very special treasure. And this scripture in Malachi is very interesting. Malachi 3, verse 2, it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming?" We all know the prophecy in Revelation and in Daniel. And the day Jesus Christ comes back, nobody except God's people can endure. Kind of a loaded question if you know the truth, what the Bible teaches. It says, "Who can stand when he appears? All of man will tremble when they see the power of God." But then it says this, it says, "For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." And so God works with us. We're put in the fire. And what that does is that removes impurities. It strips impurities from us. And we have a lot of them as human beings. It's interesting that it even mentions in here launderer's soap. You know, I'm picturing God scrubbing us real hard, scrubbing that ore and all the dirt off of it and getting it as shiny as possible until it goes to the next stage of the refining process. And sometimes maybe God will do that with us. Light affliction, a light scrubbing maybe. But God realizes, as we can see in Scripture, and we can see the example set in God's Word and with God's people, he realizes we're not perfect. And Jesus Christ, of all beings, of all spirit beings, understands that because he was a human being himself. But God will help us through this trial. He wants us to get through it, not fail. He wants us to succeed. He wants it to build up our abilities and our character. And through God's Holy Spirit, this process works. We can get through any trial and can build greater levels of God's Holy Spirit in our ourselves. And really, without God's Holy Spirit, though, without that ingredient in our refining process, we couldn't do it ourselves. That's why most people give up. But we don't, because we can talk to God about it, and God will help us withstand whatever immense situation or immense trial or heat that is hurting us or what we're going through. But we will grow in God's Holy Spirit and godly character. If you look at Proverbs, if you could please, I have a third point, but I'll draw your attention to Proverbs 25. The third point is that God will further remove even more impurities. This is a lifelong process. So initially there's a trial by fire. We're going to have impurities removed, but that's not over. It's going to continue. In Proverbs 25, verse 4, it says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry." And then Solomon says it another way to look at this. In verse 5, he says, "Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." This dross that's being talked about is impurities. In the metal refining process, the metallurgists will add compounds. They will add and remove temperature. They'll get the conditions just right, so all those impurities rise to the top, and that's called dross. And the silversmith or the metallurgist will then wipe that dross off and then further refine it. More dross will come out, further refine it. And all of a sudden, at some point, there won't be any more dross. It's pure. And the dross, you might think there's some value to it, and there's not. It's worthless. It's thrown out. You know, and you can liken that to sin. You can liken that to the old man that we're putting away. It's worthless. It's not what we're going to be when we're spirit beings. It's just a part of the refining process. Here in this slide, you can see, if I go to the right slide, here you can see slag floating to the top. This right here is copper being refined. And on the left there, that dark mass that's risen to the top, that's the slag and the copper. But if you were looking at silver, it would be called dross. You could probably still call it dross for copper. And there on the right, you can see the slag being skimmed off by the refiner. They're molding copper metal plates, and he's making sure that the slag, there's no dross on top. It's a pure piece of metal. And as I mentioned, God does this with us. God gives us His Holy Spirit. He makes sure the conditions are completely right to get rid of all of our impurities. And those conditions are typically heat and fire. Typically. And that's why life is not always easy. But the challenge before us, the challenge that God gives us, is to be strengthened through God's Holy Spirit to make the right decisions. Sometimes if it doesn't feel good, it's still right. But we make the right decisions, and that will help us build character and purify our minds and our hearts. But as Proverbs 25 stated, if you remove wickedness from the king, the throne will be established. Well, what does God call us to be? Kings and priests. And if we're going to be a king, wickedness needs to be removed from our hearts. God doesn't want another Satan. That's the issue with Satan. You can't destroy spirit beings. And God doesn't want to deal with one more spirit being that has a heart like the devil. And so he wants us to remove the wickedness from us so we can become a part of the royal family of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. It's another way to look at this. 1 Corinthians 3. It says this in verse 10. It says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." And so this is some advice that we're being given on how we're going to build our temple on a foundation. In verse 11 it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He's the cornerstone. He is the beginning of the church. He is the leader of the church. And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And verse 12, it says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, it says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself, he will be saved, yet so as through fire. And then it says in verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If any among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Sometimes when we go through trials, and it seems like it's one right after another, we need to ask ourselves what did we build on? Are we building on the foundation God laid? And what material did we use? What material did we build this temple? Are we using hay, wood, straw? It can be done that way. But as the scripture points out, when the fiery trials come, gold and silver and gems and things of substance will survive that fire, not the wood and the hay and the straw. Either way, though, God will take care of us. We'll learn from that and grow and develop from that. But unfortunately, it will burn. And often God will save us from that and teach us a lesson from that, and then we will move on and be further refined. It's interesting, it speaks a whole other subject matter, but it speaks of the temple of God being us. And that's part of the new covenant. God used to dwell in a tabernacle. He used to dwell in the temple as well. That no longer is the case. After Jesus Christ gave his life for mankind, and the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost, then you and I had the chance for that Spirit to be dwelling in us. And so that brings to light how important our calling in is, how much God is investing in each of us so that we can withstand a fiery trial and pass the test. So we ask ourselves, how do we build a temple of gold? We don't want one of hay and straw, one that's going to burn up when the bad times come. And the answer is we choose not to defile the temple, our temple. We follow God's ways. We follow God's laws. We follow God's examples. We follow God's word. And we maintain our relationship and pray to God. We don't rely on anything physical in this world. It's all spiritual. And we are living temples of which is holy. And again, not saying we're perfect and better than anyone on this earth, but this is what God has called us to be. This is what we are becoming. And it's very, very precious. And so God's refinement process builds with us spiritual treasure, a spiritual temple. And that temple, if we choose rightly in our lives, will be of gold and silver, will be of something very, very special. And again, this is physical terms, spiritual concepts, but physical terms. And it's very important to contemplate because you got to wrap your mind around it. And God's trying to tell us very simply, in the simplest way he can, how he's working with us and his plan and what we are to become. Oftentimes, when we go from one fire to the other, which happens, God, as a silversmith, may turn up the heat. He may mix it up. He may add more ingredients. He might have to skim off some dross that has occurred through that refining process and get rid of those impurities. And many times, as we go through this process in our walk with God, we don't realize how much he's helping us, how much he's really helping to refine us. And we see in God's word that his perspective is very different than ours. He's beyond time. He created all of this. Everything we know is what he's made. It's pretty mind-blowing. If you turn to Revelation, Jesus Christ talks about this. Revelation 3. It says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And somebody who hasn't read God's word, and maybe is very wealthy, wouldn't see a need for God. But the treasure and the purpose, the treasure God offers us and the purpose for us is so much greater than this physical reality. It says, verse 18, again, Jesus Christ is going to give us advice. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You know, this reminds me of the story of the emperor's clothes. I won't tell the whole story. You probably know it. Teach it in middle school, I think, or elementary. But there's this emperor, and he's naked, and he's running around and telling everybody about his new invisible clothes, and nobody will tell him that he's naked. And, well, that's not how God works. He will tell us we're naked. And he's telling, that's what Jesus Christ is saying here. Think about it from a spiritual perspective. You might have everything you need in this physical reality, but in reality you have nothing. If you have not invested in God and lived his way of life and have the salve on your eyes so you can read the word of God and truly understand it, which truly God's Holy Spirit enables, it's wonderful to be called and to be understanding of God's word. So God is creating spiritual treasure that is a spiritual likeness to gold or silver that's been refined and purified and tested. Do we want to be refined? I ask myself that often because it's painful. You know, one prayer I often pray is for God to show me the right path and help me to grow, but also to be merciful. Many times we can learn the easy way. I've made it a goal to try to learn my best from the Bible and the mistakes all the people in the Bible made, so I don't make those same mistakes. But unfortunately, I do make a lot of those mistakes. I think all of us do. But we do have a relationship with God. And sometimes he does let us learn the easy way, but oftentimes we have to learn the hard way for ourselves. And it's not comfortable. It's not something from a physical perspective that is enjoyable, but it is reality. And clearly we would like to learn the easy way, but we need to talk to God about it. You know, it's nothing a human being can help us with when it comes down to spiritual matters. God will help us figure out where we need to go, and what we need to learn, and how we're going to get there. And again, God knows we're not perfect, but we're leading towards perfection. We're trying our best to reflect what God's example has been, the example God has given us. And as this Revelation 3 points out, we're chastened. There's many other scriptures that talk about being chastened. You know, in reality, the wages of sin is death. If we want justice, then God would kill us all. That's justice. That's the wages of sin. But God brought Jesus Christ down here to sacrifice himself so that we could be forgiven and purified through that forgiveness if we choose to ask for God's forgiveness through repentance. And, you know, each of us go through different select chastenings, different trials. But we have to know God loves us. He loves us greater than we really realize. God is love. And he wants to be with us. He wants his Holy Spirit in us. He wants us to transform through that relationship. Fourth point. The fourth point is during the silver refining process, the silver must not be left too long in the fire. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 10, it says in verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man." So all the trials and tribulations that we're going through, you know, mankind since the existence of Adam and Eve has gone through this. It says, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so as with silver, God always makes sure we're not left in the heat too long." And we certainly all have different tolerances to the heat, to the fire, and God knows exactly what that is. He knows what our breaking point is. And so he lovingly watches over us. He doesn't rejoice in our sufferings. He doesn't want to see us suffer, and he'd rather avoid them, I'm sure. But that's just not how we grow. Trials are necessary. But thankfully, as we see in Scripture, God will provide a way of escape, and that is what he's done for all of his people since the existence of God's people and human beings, those who he has called. From a human perspective, though, oftentimes we're left way too long in the fire. We didn't even like the fire to begin with. But that's just not reality from God's perspective. He knows what we need. And realistically, as the Scripture points out, we will not be left in the fire too long. If silver is left in the fire too long, it actually will begin to collect impurities and oxidize. And there's a breaking point with human beings where you can only withstand so much and then you just give up. And God knows what that breaking point is. We just have to rely on Him, though, not ourselves, when we're going through a trial. But we don't want those impurities and blemishes because we've been left in the fire too long, and God doesn't want that either. The fifth point. In the refining process, once the silver is almost 99.99% pure, the silversmith will look down and see their own face in that pool of molten silver. They'll see their own image in it. I brought a piece of silver with me today. It's not a lot of money, so don't tackle me for it. It's like $20 in silver. Pure silver, 99.999%, 1 ounce of silver. And all this process we've been talking about, this metal went through, found somewhere deep in the earth, went through that whole process. But then at the end of it, you can see, I don't know if you all see a reflection there. It's probably hard to see from there. But when you look at it, and you can come over and look at this after church if you'd like. You see your own face in the pure silver. And this is the case when a silversmith is refining the metal, and that's when they know that it's ready. 2 Corinthians 3, if you look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from the glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so we are becoming like God. We are becoming a likeness of God. So when God looks deep in our heart and in our mind, he sees himself. He sees us as a father sees his own child. He sees the goodness, the righteousness that he's working with us. So I ask myself that often. When God looks down at me, does he see his reflection? Does he see his image? Really, all of us are in varying stages of our refining process. And we're still being refined. We're really not done until we die. And that's because the master silversmith is still at work. We're still being refined. But as he begins to refine, he will see a vision of himself in us. And we go through trials, even at this stage when we become fairly refined. We still can go through trials. We can have heavy mental, physical, spiritual trials, tests, struggles, overwhelming and seemingly impossible tasks, sometimes. But much like the silver refining process, God allows us to be put in the heat to be refined. And these trials make us something so much greater, something that Satan and the demons won't be. That's why they're jealous about God's people and want to destroy us. That's why they're our enemy. It's because we are going to be called to be very special treasures, without blemish, with a good heart, knowledgeable in God's truth and love, and all developed through free moral agency. God didn't force us to do this. It's all through free moral agency. If you look at silver today, it's a very large market, very large commodity. According to Statista.com, global silver mine production reached a high of 27,000 metric tons in 2018. It's a lot of silver. So silver is a precious metal when you look at all the other things that are on the earth, but not as precious as God's people. Not even close, actually. Out of 7.5 billion people who are alive today, and assuming there's, let's say, a total of 50,000 people in the churches of God today, might be more, maybe even 100,000, that's only 0.0006581% of the total population. Not even a half of a percent. Not even close to 1% of the total population. Sounds pretty precious to me. I think you could go to a store and buy silver. So today there are very few of God's chosen people. And this further illustrates that God's first fruits are a rare and precious treasure to God. And that is to not discount that God really views all of mankind to have this same potential. You know, he has calling the first fruits now, but all will be called in the second coming of Christ and in the resurrection. So God has called us to be very special treasures that he's refining right now. Do we see ourselves as humbly as special treasures to God? It certainly was what Peter had in mind when he wrote this. He said, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." That's in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And in other words, we're God's very special treasures. And he wants to refine us and develop us into a pure treasure. Sixth and final point. Sixth point is after this, the silver begins to clarify and it's reflective and the silversmith can see his image in the silver, the silver nears this final stage of refining and it experiences a reaction called brightening. And that's when the last of the impurities are consumed. And now this pure molten metal emits this bright flash of light. And it's poured into a mold. And solidified. And when we look at our process as Christians, we eagerly look forward to the brightening, the purification, the final step of our calling, of God's chosen people. And we're poured into a mold similar to that of which Jesus Christ laid down for us to be part of, to be like. In 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We will be spirit beings and have the ability to look, put our eyes on God, and he will see us, and we will be like him. When we're transformed from physical to spiritual, in the resurrection, we will be pure and bright spirit beings, consisting of pure Holy Spirit. None of this physical stuff that we have to deal with today. This is the end product from a human perspective. This is the end product. This is what we are designed for. But really, from a spiritual perspective, this is just the beginning. Because a spiritual existence is so much greater than this. And we all look forward to that. It's a wonderful thing to contemplate. So in conclusion, God sees us as a priceless, precious treasure. And when you really think about it, I'll speak for myself, I'm just a raw hunk of junk, just a piece of ore. Trying to become something more, much more better, much more greater. You know, a miner may see raw ore in a mine, and to the average person, it means nothing. But to the miner, it means everything. And they realize the potential that ore has to dig down, retrieve it, and refine it, and make it something so much more special than what it was. And this is the same potential God sees in us to be a special treasure. So the precious metals that we can see referenced throughout the Bible from beginning to end have a very significant similarity with our conversion and growth as true Christians. And there is a process at work that God is facilitating between us and God. And so God calls us out of the world, out of the ore, to be refined. And he will then purify us in the hottest part of the fire, so we become as pure as possible. And then he will remove even more impurities from us. But God will be very, very careful to not leave us too long in the fire, but keep us in there so we can be as pure as possible. And towards the end, God will see his own reflection in us. And then in the end, which is really our death, our physical bodies will be shed away. There will be a brightening process of which we become spirit beings, and we will be represent truth, love, and light to the world. In closing, I'd like you to turn to Job. Job summarizes the entirety of this message. Job, as you all probably know, is the oldest, we believe is the oldest book in the Bible. Job was likely written before the great flood, Noah's flood. And so the insight that he provides here and what mankind was doing even in his time is unbelievable, especially from a spiritual perspective. In Job 28, verse 1, it says, "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They swing to and fro. And as for the earth, from it comes bread, but underneath is turned up as by fire. Its stones and the source of sapphire are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden on it, nor have the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountain at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eyes see every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling, and what is hidden, he brings forth to light. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It's not in me,' and the sea says, 'It's not in me.' It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued for gold or ophir and precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or a fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God's understanding its way, understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the end of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by the measures. And when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it, and he prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The true treasure that we seek is eternal life, eternal beings that are a part of God's own heart, is the greatest treasure that has ever existed. Each of us has a special treasure within, a treasure that we're all being refined to become. And this, my friends, is the greatest mystery of mankind. The mystery of why we exist is ironically found in the very creation and purpose for human beings. And that purpose is someday to become a member of God's family, to be a precious treasure of which we devote and sacrifice our lives to. So if you're a little boy or a little girl, if you're a teenager or a full-grown adult, we all have the same incredible human potential to become like God. And so we have to choose every day to live God's ways of life and to let God work with us as a silversmith does and help purify us and refine us as his own special treasure.